Do you think that if he had not been assassinated, he would be considered as great as he is now?
That's really hard to say. I think when he was assassinated, he was walking into some really hard waters, rough waters. And I really and truly don't, I think he was in over his head. And I don't think that he, I think had lost a lot of his influential image that a lot of people had put him in. And I think between he and Bobby Kennedy, they had gotten involved with so many of the underground characters that I think they lost a lot of their shininess, for lack of a better word.
Mm-hmm.
And I think more and more people were realizing that it was not really what it was cracked up to be. I think he had lost a lot of his favoritism by that time. Whether or not he would have been able to afford it all, I seriously doubt it. You know. I really do. And I think in years past, since so much of his involvements, personally as well as politically, have come to light, I would imagine that a lot of people do not hold him in the same esteem that they did at the time that he was assassinated.
Do you believe the reports about him and Marilyn Monroe?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
No question. Too much of it is documented for it not to be.
You said you liked Elvis a lot, going back again. How old were you when you first, do you remember your, like, when you first started listening to Elvis?
13, 14, something like that.
And was he married then?
No.
What were your reaction when he got married?
Well, I believe at that particular point in time, because initially when he first came on the scene, so to speak, that's when, you know, it was just really, you know, hip and everybody thought he was so cool and all this type of thing. And about the time that he married, even though saw all the early movies and this type of thing, with him stepping out of the picture when he went into the service, even though it was a glorified stamp that he pulled and this type of thing, it really and truly, it kind of lost its glitter. And at that point in time, I was either in college or well on my way to starting my family and this type of thing, and it just kind of fizzled. Mm-hmm. So far as, in other words, my admiration of him just kind of waned away. And then of course when all the different things came to light with him, I just kind of sizzled that. So I mean, you have a hard time keeping somebody up on a pedestal that you know is just a druggie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, literally. I mean, it just destroys all of your, you know, fantasies and this type of thing.
Did the drug culture ever creep into your life in any way?
I was really not ever affected by any of that.
Mm-hmm.
In any shape, form, or fashion. I went straight through. The only thing drinking beer was, but so far as the drugs and the pot and all of that, that was never in the picture at all.
I mean, just, is there anything else that you can think
of? Well, talking about the drug scene, one of the things that I am very impressed with is so many of the role models or the stars, or, you know, whether it be sports or Hollywood-based, do today, which I think is a very good thing, is that them coming, you know, on television and telling their public that this is an uncool thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's really great. I really do. Because so many of you younger kids that are so influenced by this, going back to like age 5 and 6, they hold these guys in the highest of esteem and are really role models for them. And I think it's very good. I think they ought to do it more than they do it. But it's really interesting how things have changed, you know, over the years and this type of thing. A lot of things people in the South, I think, have accepted and consider it fair. And then you have a lot of your, you know, hard-clad people that have no intentions of ever changing their opinion. And a lot of their viewpoints are still in the 50s and the 60s. And you can go into a lot of your smaller towns and you will think that you have stepped back 75 years in time. No question.
So,
and they have my sympathy.
Was America, I always look at 1950s as being like just, you know, like Leave It to Beaver kind of thing.
Yeah.
Is that really how it was? Was it really just that, you know, father knows best kind of attitude,
yeah,
kind of thing?
It really was. I mean, everything was more or less viewed through rose-colored glasses. You know, it was really not, because I was brought up in an upper middle class family, and you had your own little schedule and your own little routine, even though you would hear glimpses of different things that were going on in other places in the country and the world and whatnot, but it was kind of like living in your own little, you know, picket fenced, you know, rose colored garden type thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the reason why I really don't have a lot of vivid memories about all of the politics that were going on in that era, because I was totally shielded from all of that.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Was anything in, like, I don't know how to word this, like now it's kind of a fact of life, we know everything is going on over in Europe, we know everything is,
mm-hmm,
going on all over the world. Did you know much about what was going on in the world then?
Really not until I was like in junior high. From that point on,
mm-hmm,
yeah, that's when you really became in tune to what was really going on.
Are you back yet or what? No?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm going on the golf for hours, so whenever you do come back,
mm-hmm,
these, I got labels on there where they mail to, and here's some orders that can keep you on that.
Okay. Thanks.
I am ordering in a half hour. If you want anything?
Oh, great. Thank you.
You said you were raised more upper middle class.
Mm-hmm.
How do you think that did that like differentiate you from anyone else? Did you feel like you were different from other people then in any way? Because I know in small southern towns there can be a big difference between the lower class and the upper class.
That was always on a back burner, so to speak. It really never came directly into play. The thing that made it bad in the town that I grew up in is that there was, like for the rural areas, a different high school.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a very radical separation between classes, literally. If you lived in town, you went to the city schools, and if you did not, you went to the others, and very rarely did you come in contact with them. It was like being in a different world, and that to me was quite a segregated atmosphere,
mm-hmm,
which to me should never have been. There were LaGrange is or was considered a mill town. So you would have several of the people that, even though they were, you know, within the city, that went to that particular high school, it was very well known that they were quote unquote from the other side of the track, and your parents were very cautious to make sure that even though they were always invited to parties, you know, the parents would really get uptight if any of the daughters wanted to date some of these guys. Mm-hmm. No, that, so that was to me direct. And you know, you would have like the star of the football team that happened to be from the other side of the track, and he was a very popular guy, but it was, you know, those type situations were monitored very closely. So I would say yes, that was definitely an issue when I was growing up.
Do you remember having any like major disagreements with your parents on anything that you just really saw differently? And were there any issues that you just found that you believed something totally different from your parents? And it was,
well, that was one of them. Because my feeling is, and I have felt that way all of my life, and the older I get, the more strongly I feel about that, is that every person, every human individual, has a right to be given a chance. And you should not judge a person by something that they had totally no control over. Mm-hmm. What they do with it, that's where the judgment should come. Mm-hmm. When they've been given the opportunity to make something of themselves. Some of your best known people, Sam Walton for one, with Walmart, he's a self-made man. And I think every individual should be given a chance. And there were many, many arguments about, I do not want you to associate with these people. Well, give me a reason why. And they couldn't, other than the fact that they were from the wrong side of town. And I think that's a very prejudiced, very narrow-minded attitude. And yeah, there were many discussions on that. And that one I probably remember probably more than anything else.
At the beginning of the interview, you said that you were a tomboy.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that, like, affected you in any way in high school when it came to, like, dating or anything like that? Were you still a real tomboy, or did you have a hard time relating to, like, girl things, per se?
No, I didn't. I more or less looked on that, not only, as I mentioned earlier, about being some of my most fondest memories in growing up, but being outside and being involved with my dad and doing boy things, I really think attributed to me being a more well-rounded person, because I am more self-sufficient and I know how to do more things. I have a love of the outdoors and camping to this day. I like nature, and I attribute a lot of my feelings along those lines to that particular point, you know, time in my life that I did all those things. When you go through your normal hormone changes and you just kind of blossom out and start doing all the feminine things, that just kind of fell right into place. Because I very much believe that you can be ultra feminine with the frills and the lace or the tailored look or whichever way you want to go, and still have a love for the sneakers and the cutoffs and the outdoors and, you know, mm-hmm. this type of thing.
Did your kids, did they grow up liking doing outdoorsy things too?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
What do you think their childhood was like? Kind of step into their shoes and think of...
I would say their childhood was very traumatic in a lot of ways, because they did not have a strong relationship with their father. He did not exercise any role models for them to follow. I more or less found myself in a position of playing both father and mother role models. I was the one that had all of the involvement with them. Discipline to the Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, whatever. Consequently, in a lot of ways, they developed tendencies to be insecure. They did not have that strong role model of a father, that somebody that they could depend on, that would guide them and direct them, and it definitely left its mark. It definitely left its scars, and I've seen it over the years, and I've seen problems that have evolved from these insecurities. And I retrospectively do not know of anything that I could have done differently than I did do. There were a lot of areas that I probably spread myself too thin trying to compensate for both. But I tried to